The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. The reading is from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all of the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all of the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face, but whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 99, to be read responsibly by half verse. The Lord is king, let the people tremble.
He is enthroned upon Jerusalem, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is high above all peoples.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome.
He is the Holy One.
O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and fall down before his footstool.
He is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name.
They call upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud.
They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed.
You were God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of our Lord, our God, and worship him upon his holy hill.
For the Lord our God is the Holy One.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil is still there. Since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of God as through reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
took Peter with Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. All were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Lord, use my lips to speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as we were preparing for Lent, for Ash Wednesday in particular, there was a casualty. And I just mentioned that to you. I was in trouble for several days at home because I had to borrow a sifter, which is what you use. And here's what happened. But I think we've undone the damage in our marital relationship. Still working on it. She always says, "Can I borrow that?" And I said, she said, "Sure, but just bring it back, you know, as you found it." That was one of my failures this year. I don't know if you pay attention carefully to the way that the lectionary year unfolds, but there are two seasons of preparation: Advent, Lent, right? And before each of those, there is a day set aside to kind of get you ready for those seasons. Does anybody know what the Sunday before Advent is called, or what we observe? I know it's on the tip of your tongue, so when I tell you, you're going to say, "Well, I knew that." Christ the King, right? Oh, yeah. Everybody's nodding their head. Oh, sure. That's right. I knew that. Okay, so Christ the King, we observe. And in a sense, think about this for a second. As you're preparing to greet Jesus as a babe and to peer into the crypt, you're reminded, before you do that, remember, this is the King. It's a pretty important kind of introduction, isn't it? And today, the Sunday before we began Lent, you're invited again to look at something pretty wonderful. And that is what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. So that we come up to the mountain to behold Jesus in all his glory. I mean, so bright that you can hardly look. And we're reminded as you begin this kind of more solemn time in the church year, but remember, we're preparing for an experience of the holy, the glory of God. So, I mean, the church sets aside those days to kind of help you to get ready. And in this particular instance, we are really excited, in a sense, to join with Moses, who went up on the mountain, and his face was so transfigured by the vision of God, right? That when he came down, people said, we can't even look at you. And he put a veil over his face. The epistle says he did it for to try to keep that from the people. I think it was just the opposite, frankly. I think that's an instance where Paul got it wrong. Who obeyed it? That's the right thing. Because in deference to people who say, I can't take that head on. It's kind of like people who go to Chrysia. And for the first time, some of these folks will experience the whole gospel. And they say, I've never heard that before. I go to church every Sunday, but I've never heard that before. Okay, well, that's sort of a disappointment, but if it's a reality, it's a reality. But then people say, put a lid on it. I mean, you know, this is too much. You're so excited and so enthusiastic. We can't take it just, you know, time after time. Put a lid on it. Put a veil over your face. And let us experience God, you know, that way. In bits and pieces, because that's really what we do. And one of the things I'm hoping to invite you to do this morning is to be aware that God appears in his glory in very unexpected ways, and often not quite so dramatic, but still very real. I want to share with you a personal story. I've had some times where I felt like I heard the voice of God, but I haven't had many where I thought I saw God. And this one in particular, I believe that I saw the face of Jesus in a very ordinary way. Well, maybe not so ordinary. I was home from college for the summer, and I had a girlfriend who lived in Rockledge, and so I would go over to be with her, and I gave her my fraternity pin. Big deal, you know? And she wore that. It's kind of a complicated thing, but I was pleased that we had that kind of relationship, that kind of plateau in our relationship. And so on the night that I was to leave the next morning for college, she said to me, I've got something to give you, your fraternity pin. And you need to go your way, and I need to go my way. Well, I don't know if you can remember back sort of that far, maybe, and what that represented at that moment. But for me, it was a pretty devastating moment. And I was honestly beside myself. And, you know, it seems so silly now to say this, but I didn't know how I could possibly go on. And so I finally got home, tossing and turning, and sleep was out of the question. And then all of a sudden, I felt that I wasn't alone in the room. Have you ever had that kind of experience? And I looked up and there was someone in the room with me. Now, I didn't honestly see his face because I knew who he was. And I knew that it was the Lord Jesus. And there was a sense of calm and peace that just like that descended on me. And I went to sleep and didn't look back. Now, perhaps you've had that kind of experience and people really try to explain it to you, or particularly try to explain it away for you. They'll say, well, you really didn't see anything, and you just imagined it because you needed that experience at the moment. Okay? Possible. Or they'll say, well, it was your dad looking in on you. And when he saw that you were okay, he left. Okay? And all I can say is, if Jesus appeared to me that way, it's good stuff. Because I know what I saw, and I know what I experienced. And so, I don't let anybody take that away. The point that I want to make, because I don't think that's altogether unusual, is that we need to train ourselves to see God's hand at work in ways that we never thought possible. In fact, we have in one of our Eucharistic prayers, which we don't use somehow that often, is Eucharistic prayer C. Some people call that the Star Wars one. But here is part of that prayer. Lord God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the prayer? Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Open our eyes so that we might see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. To behold the glory of God in whatever way that happens. And then to say, Lord, don't let us miss that. Keep us open to experience your hand wherever your hand is at work. Open our eyes to behold your hand. and then equip us to serve you. And that's exactly what was happening in the Mount of Transfiguration. As they saw the glory of God, and their eyes were opened to the glory of God. And then, you know the rest of it. You can't stay here. You got to go down back into the world and witness to what you've seen. And the disciples were obviously pretty eager to do it, because they attempted a healing right off the bat, and they weren't ready. We have to be grounded. What is it that you see? Well, it took Paul many years to figure it out. When he had that vision on the road to Damascus, it takes time. But as we experience God's glory, and you know, it doesn't happen to me that often. That's why I savor it. And then try to understand what it is that I saw, what it is that I experienced, and then what it is that God would have me do as an ambassador of His, and to serve Him in this world. So, I want you to get ready for Lent, and to know that there is a promise that awaits us as we open our eyes to His hand at work.